in Seattle, Seattle. And you need to buy yourself a home. We'll be right there for you, because we're the realtors that you can trust. So go to RodandConsidDow.com.
Don't go anywhere unless you want to. It's the Ron and Don Show, starring Ron and Don, and sometimes me, at ronanddon.com.
Hey, you guys, what's going on? Welcome to episode 696 now of the Ron and Don Show, and we are live in the Les Schwab Studio.
What is up, Ron and Don Nation?
Hey, coming up on the Ron and Don Show, sometimes people reach out to us, and they say, hey, will you sell my house? And I'm like, don't sell your house. We'll talk about that. Also, men over 40 have a lot of advice for younger men, and we'll share what some of their advice is. Yeah. It's a BuzzFeed article that I love. Before we get to that, though, let's get to this. Parents hiring concierge parents. I've never heard of this when they go off to college. Ron, what is this? Parents hiring parents to be a parent when they can't be a parent when... Johnny and Judy go off to school.
This one, I wanted to lampoon this idea, but it actually seems like a pretty good idea to me. There's a service out there at some, not at every college, but some major colleges in America. It's a concierge mother. And so what it looks like is, let's say you're a teenager, you send them from Washington and they're going to go to school at, I don't know, NYU or somewhere on the East Coast. So your kids, it's the first time they've lived alone, they're on the other side of the country. And so this service, you pay a monthly fee, and there's a mother there on the other side, or someone playing a mother on the other side, where they can help out with stuff. So let's say your child needs to go to a doctor or the dentist, and they have no idea who to look for. They've been going to their dentist or their doctor in Washington their whole life. The concierge mom can step in and just help them to say, hey, here's maybe a doctor that would be good for you. Here's a dentist. And it ranges in the services. So like maybe it's a healthcare need. They told a story of one kid that had to go to the emergency room, and the concierge mom was able to visit that kid, give updates to the family, bring them some supplies and things that they needed at the hospital. It can get a little overboard if someone becomes very helicoptery or tries to use the service too much. But I think in general, it would be easy to lampoon it. But I don't think it's a bad thing. Like you and I come from a generation where we were expected to just fend for ourselves. And there was a lot of unnecessary growing pains, I think, there. I think at the end of it, you figure it out. But man, it sure would have been nice every once in a while to have someone you could call to say, I don't know how to do this. Like I didn't know how to balance a checkbook. Like I didn't know about how credit cards worked. And I'm, 20 years old, living on my own. It would have been nice to have a concierge mom when you're not living at home. What did you find it usable or laughable?
I think what you just mentioned in the struggle of maybe trying to figure out credit or a credit card or balancing a checkbook, I think we've taken the struggle out for a lot of kids. So I think we need to leave some of that struggle in there. I think that's part of growing up. And it's not on your parents to teach you everything. It is on your parents to kind of teach you what they know. I am who I am because I didn't have a dad. I am who I am because my mother was raising four kids, and there were just a lot of times where she couldn't be present. It's why I have the grit I have. It's why I have the determination I have. It's why I have the curiosity I have. Because I had to figure it out. And so, and my journey wasn't, you had two parents your whole life. So my journey is not your journey, right? Your parents bought you a truck. My parents never bought me a car. So, I've always been an entrepreneur. I've always had businesses. And I have always felt the struggle. So I've noticed even in my own relationship with my son, I have to be really careful about taking the struggle out for him. I need to leave the struggle in. I was listening to Melinda Gates. She was on the Conan O'Brien podcast. And she was, they were both talking about how difficult it is to leave the struggle in for their children because their children have everything. And Melinda Gates was trying to paint this picture of her daughter went to school and her daughter wanted this really expensive handbag. And it was at this private girls' school. And Melinda didn't let her get this handbag because she thought it would be a bad message to walk around in this private school, this handbag that the other girls didn't have or couldn't afford. And I went, wow, that is some kind of struggle. This is the same girl who, by the way, her dad just bought her a horse farm. And even Conan was kind of lampooning himself because it is very difficult when your kids grow up with privilege. And he grew up with privilege. I mean, he's a Harvard kid, but his dad's a doc. I mean, he came from a very affluent family, right? So Julia Louis-Dreyfus on Seinfeld, she comes, her father was a multi-billionaire. She comes from privilege. And I've heard her talk about this before, trying to leave in the struggle for kids. So I never had any dental insurance growing up. I never had any health insurance growing up. My teeth were effed forever. And then when I got older, I finally could pay and get them fixed. So there I would agree with you. It would have been nice to have dental insurance. It would have been nice to get my teeth fixed. I brushed the hell out of them. I've never had a cavity, so I'm appreciative for that. But I have to say the struggle has been very helpful. I learned more from all the times we got fired from the times versus the time we got praised. And sitting in cities sometimes and wondering where your next paycheck comes from. When you get fired from a radio job, it's not like there's one across the street. You know, you're going to have to move. If you're dating a girl, you're going to lose that relationship. A lot of times you leave friends that you just made behind. You just got to a city and now you have to leave again. But all that struggle brought us to this place. And so I think a concierge mom is a bunch of bullshit. I think kids should struggle. I have friends that their kids have never worked in high school. They've gone off to college. They call, mom, I need a ticket. All my friends are going to Hawaii. In fact, I was talking to a friend of mine last night. All my friends are going to Hawaii. So mom is online finding her the Airbnb and then buying the ticket so her kid can leave school where she's at and go to Hawaii. Or mom, I need my car. Could you have my car delivered? Or whatever. So that child has never worked in their life. They're going to get on the other side of college. That's usually the kid that moves home and then is living in your basement till 30 or 35. So I think it's ridiculous. I think the struggle is important, and we will see you on the other side of this. All right, exciting week here in Ron and Don Real Estate, getting ready to sell some homes in Green Lake, up in Edmonds, Magnolia, and then also we're jumping in the rigs on Saturday, heading down to what I like to call Fed Way. We got a call the other day, and our client said, hey, I hear you guys sell the sound. We're like, that's right. We're going to go see this house. This is a ginormous house. He has a big family. He said, you know what? We need to sell the house. And I said, why are you selling the house? He said, because we are house rich like most people, and sometimes we're a little cash poor. What do you want to do with all the cash from this house? We want to buy another house for cash, and then we want to take this money. We have four kids, and we only have a couple more years with them. We want to travel the world. We are a family of experiences. We don't need big homes because big homes attract a lot of stuff. How about that? I love that, you guys. A family of experiences. I stole that from him. And you know what? That's what I'm doing in 2024 with my son. Because I got him for about four more years. family of experience. Think about this. Your kids, you see them just about every day. You know, by the time they graduate and take off to college or trade school or travel, whatever it is they do, for the rest of their lives, you'll see them for about a year when you accumulate all the days and you put them just for another year, right? Family of experience. Sometimes when your house rich and your cash poor, maybe it's time to sell, pull equity. Pick up the phone, give us a call. Let's do a sit down. RonandonSitDown.com. Sometimes people say, well, I'm just going to refinance. But guess what? You refinance, you pull that cash out, and then now, guess what? Your monthly payment just went way up. Maybe you don't want to do that. RonandonSitDown.com, because we sell the sound and we are a family of experiences around here. All right, you guys, welcome back to the Ron and Don Show. I found something else on BuzzFeed that I really like. What is BuzzFeed?
BuzzFeed's just kind of one of these. It's a website that's news adjacent. Like, they do a lot of sort of interactive things and stuff you might find on Reddit or they'll cull a bunch of stuff from
good.
A poll and just sort of aggregate an opinion piece. It's lighter, but refreshing in this news cycle.
So these are tips men that are in their 40s. Ron and I are in our 50s now, right? These are men that are in their 40s. They're giving tips to men in their 30s. All right. And I think these tips are really good for men of every age and maybe even women too. So 70% of the people listening to our podcast are women. How about that? So anyway, number one, Ron, your thoughts. Learn to maintain your social connections. Also, work on forming new ones. Don't be afraid to call people. Message friends. You can do that out of the blue. Go ahead and organize outings. Be able to open up with your feelings to them. The number one indicator of your health is your social health. Also, sometimes that's more important than your diet, not smoking, anything else. Loneliness will destroy your body and soul.
That's a great piece of advice. I think some of these lists for me, because I'm not, I don't have kids and I'm not married right now. Some of this is really geared towards guys that are, you know, married and kids and how that, you know, interrupts your friend group. But absolutely, like planning those things, doing stuff with other men, finding spaces where you can express yourself and just have that outlet, unbelievably important.
Yeah. Number two, having a lot of expensive things, it doesn't make you happy. You will learn that physical items are only temporary and that $70,000 cars are worthless and they're definitely out of date before you finished making your payments.
I don't know if I 100% agree with that. I get the sentiment. But there are some objects that can be beneficial to you. And we, you and I have seen that. We both know people that have a boat and never use the boat. Have a really nice boat, but they never use it, versus a person that has a nice boat or maybe even a mid-range boat and uses it all the time. So that object of owning the boat or the sports car or the camper or whatever it is, if you're using it, it can be great. Like, I remember you and I went snowmobiling with your family in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And it was a lot of money to have that many snowmobiles, but they use them. They go out there as a family. They make it a point to say, we're going to get the whole goof troop together. We're going to go up to the cabin. We're going to snowmobile, and then we're going to have a big family meal. So that is a bunch of might be superfluous.
It's because you can buy a mansion there, though, for $118,000.
But still, it's for them, having those objects. So to say, oh, we shouldn't buy snowmobiles, that's stupid. It's like, not necessarily. If you use it and you enjoy it and it brings fun and your family together,
totally,
that's fine. If you have a $70,000 car and it sits in your garage and it doesn't bring you any joy, then that's dumb.
Yeah. I think the important thing is here, and I never really get in car accidents. I was pulling into a parking stall the other day, and I nicked this guy's 2011 Toyota pickup truck, and I broke the lens cap on the back of his truck. So I wrote a note and I put it on his truck, and then I went and I started asking people, because there was a construction site there, and I said, does anybody know who this guy is? And the guy said, yeah, I think he's in there. He's an electrician apprentice. Anyway, I couldn't find him. He ends up calling me. He's like, man, I've had people hit my truck before on the construction site. He said, I'm really surprised you left me a note. He said, most people drive off. And I said, well, I don't, that's not me, man. I'm not wired that way. And I said, I have a similar truck. I have a 2015 4Runner that I drive around. And I said, I'll be happy to go get that lens cover and replace that for you. He goes, you would? And I go, yeah. He goes, well, he goes, I really actually wanted to get some different lens covers for my truck. So I'm kind of glad that you broke it. And I said, okay. He said, would you be willing to work with me and we'll get these different lens covers? So I said, show him. So he shows them to me. And the lens, the taillight lens covers that he wants to get are $400 a piece. So these are $800 lens covers. I could get his lens cover for $68 and the labor's free. And it's two bolts. And I've had someone hit my lens cover before on my Toyota. You take that same Toyota into the Toyota dealership, it's like $2,000 to have that fixed. So I said, and I went and saw him yesterday. So I said, well, I said, where do you live? He told me where he lived, and he's 22 years old. And I asked him how much money he made, how much money he had saved up. And I said, so if I give you this money let's say that I pay for half, let's say I just pay for this one and I pay $400. Cause if you did go and get the labor and all that, it would be more than the $68. I said, well, what would you do with the other one? And he said, well, I'd really save up to get the other. I said, so you would spend on a 2011 Toyota truck that is 220,000 miles on it, you would spend $800 on lens covers. I said, that would really, really give you joy. I said, how does that give you a joy? Because you're sitting in the truck. You can't even see them. You turn your turn signal on. Like, what kind of joy does that actually give you? So we were talking about that. And his name is DeWitt. I said, DeWitt, he's a young Mexican kid from Mexico. And I said, I've worked with a lot of black and brown kids over the years. And sometimes I said, I wish when I was 22 that someone explained investment. I said, if I gave you $400 and let's say that we work together and we replace this lens cover, I said, for $68, if you took the remaining amount of money, so about, let's say you took $120, $130 and you put that in an S&P 500 fund, I'd explain what S&P 500 fund was, and never touched it ever. And then you woke, you never put another dollar in there. And then you woke up and you were my age. I said, do you know how much money would be in that account? He said, no. I said, you'd have $400,000 in that account. I said, now let's say that you put that money in and over the course of the next 2 years, you put that same amount of money in from your apprentice job just for the next 2 years and don't touch it. I said, do you know how much money you would have in that account? I said, you would be a millionaire. You would be a millionaire just for doing that for the next 2 years. So I said, I'll do whatever you want and I'll help you with your lens cover. And if you end up spending $800 on that, good for you. I said, but I really want you to think about, if you have this cash money, and I'm going to go give them cash today. If I put cash money in your hand, how could you take that money, spend some, give some, save some? So we'll see what he decides. Couple more here because I love them. Calm the F down. And learn how to apologize correctly. Don't hold on to anger. And also, when your wife, your girlfriend, your husband, your boyfriend, your partner wants to do something and you think it's lame or boring, go F and do it. Don't stay in a bad relationship because you feel sorry for her or him. Also, the biggest decision you'll ever make in your life is who you have a kid with. You can undo everything else. You can get married and unmarried. You can get divorced. You can buy a house. You can sell your house. You can pay off a mortgage. But you can't undo the parent of your child. This is true. We will see you on the other side of this.
Hey, Ron and Don here with Mitch Weeks. You know him as Mitch.Loans. Mitch, let's be honest. Interest rates have been higher than they have been for the past couple years, but we're still seeing inventory. We're still seeing sales. What is happening right now if I just want to be a standard every day? I want to buy a house. Maybe it's my first house.
Well, if it's your first house, there's still a lot of great products for first-time homebuyers. You can put as little as 3% down. Often, with a little more negotiating now, you can also get a seller to buy down some of those costs that have come with being a first-time homebuyer. And it's a great time to buy. Honestly, rent is 100%, as we've talked about. You're giving all your money to the landlord. Even if you're paying 8%, that is 92% better than what you're paying with rent.
It is. So Mitch can help you out if you're a first-time buyer. You can go ahead and just go to Mitch.Loans, talk to him, figure out if you qualify for one of these programs, and then start your real estate journey. You're not going to regret looking back in 5 or 10 years and going, wow, I could have bought in 2023. Why didn't I do that? So stop waiting. Get in the game. Go to Mitch.Loans.
All right, you guys, welcome back to the Ron and Don Show. I shared a little bit about this story. I wrote something for the Nation News. My neighbor has a house. It's a house with a cottage in the backyard that had been for sale for over a year. I think it was 370 days. And the builder had some balls. The builder was able to buy and hold. And I don't know if it was the builder or the bank, but someone was able to buy and hold it. And they kept putting it, listing it. And then what they're trying to do is sell the house and sell the cottage separately, which you can do in Ballard. You can't do that in my neighborhood on Queen Anne, because whoever can pay for, you know, a $2.5 million house, they don't want a million. In the cottage in the backyard is probably worth just under $1 million. They don't want to look in their backyard and down their driveway and there's someone else living in their backyard. They're not going to buy that house. And so these builders that built these homes with these cottages in the backyard, they didn't provide parking for the cottage. The driveway for these homes is in the backyard by the, so it was just kind of a mess. There are three of them on my street here on the west slope of Queen Anne, and they were for sale forever. Two of the builders had to fire sale those. And again, they tried selling them separately and together, and they couldn't get out. Then this other builder had three of these and was able to buy and hold and hang on and afford the holding costs. All of a sudden, we got to February, and he got exactly what he was asking. In fact, the one down the street just closed at 3.85, so almost $4 million. That's kind of what he's been asking the whole time. And then the other two that he had are gone. And then builders are back in our neighborhood now buying complete teardowns on 6,000 square foot lots. They're paying $1.1 to $1.2 million for these lots. Incredible. On the west slope of Queen Anne. It's not at the top. It's not the top crown dirt that everybody talks about. It's on the industrial side, the kind of the Ballard side. But it has some views, so builders really like it, and it has bigger lots than they have at the top. So I talked about this house closing, and I also talked about the fact I have two different clients right now. One's in my backyard. They're from Spokane. Ron and I are going to meet with them and do a sit-down in person. We're going to go have a cup of coffee with them on Friday. They're moving from Airbnb to Airbnb, and they're looking to buy a home here. And then I have another place at the top of Queen Anne where there's a couple there from Tahoe where, by the way, they just had 12 feet of snow, 190-mile-an-hour winds.
That's crazy.
He was showing me. His neighbor came over during the storm with a snowblower from next door trying to blow. He's trying to blow Alex's house. You couldn't even see the neighbor. Like, you could see some orange. And then the snow that he was blowing was just blowing around. And then it was snowing so much, it just filled in all the snow that he blew. So 12 feet of snow. Crazy. So he's a pilot. They saw the storm coming. They came. They're staying at one of my Airbnbs. And then we've been out shopping. In fact, we've written two offers for them. And one was cash over. We went early. Another one on a home that had been sitting, but it was also cash. A guy should have taken the offer, and now he's sitting on this house, and he wish he would have. He called me back the other day. I'm like, nope, you didn't take the offer. And emotionally, they have kind of moved on here. Anyway, Sobe, her and I have been writing back and forth on, she's been writing me very nice things on Facebook for the last 10 years about parenting and stuff and things on the podcast. So she reached out and said, hey, I have these two condos that I bought. And I think she was single at the time. She bought these two condos. They're on Queen Anne. They're on this slope. They're down the street from us. And they have beautiful views. And it's really unique, Ron, because I think there's 6 units in this building that she's in. It's a really great building. So I went to see it. It's the area of Queen Anne where there's a huge slide there a number of years ago. And so they've had to shore up that hill on Queen Anne, which they've done a really good job. So as a result of that, her neighbors that were down below it slid. They're gone. So she's right there, and there's no way that you could take away these views. And so she was bait when it didn't have a view, you're able to buy these things for $150,000 or $200,000. Now these things are probably worth $1 million a piece. And so she wanted me to come over, take a look. So I went and I took a look, and then we got done. Her handyman was over there. I got his phone number because he's really good. So we're going to use him. And then she said, do you think I should sell? And I'm like, what would you do with the money? You're still very young. I would love to sell these for you because I'm a real estate agent. And at the same time, it seems like maybe the best thing for you to do right now is be a buy and hold investor. You've done all the work. These are creating a lot of cash flow for you right now. You haven't completely paid off. You're getting tax advantages here as a landlord. And then what would you go out and buy? Could you 1031 exchange this and go buy something? Because this is not her primary. This is an investment property. And you can't 1031 your primary. If you want more information and that doesn't make sense to you, ronadonsitdown.com, and we'll take time to explain it. But anyway, I really appreciated the fact that she had another realtor in there. And I told her, I said, you know, you should really just hang on to these. You're 58, 59 years old. These are creating great cash flow for you. I don't think you'll find a better investment. I said, but if you really want to sell or you're moving away, or she's like, no. And she loves tinkering around on these properties every time she turns them and she gets a new tenant in there. The tenant landlord laws, we talked through those didn't seem to bother her. And so we had this really nice discussion, and I said, I would just hang on to these, and I would buy and hold these and continue to build your wealth slowly, because these are only going to continue to go up in value. You can sell these on a downside, and even in a down cycle market, you could sell these and you're still going to do really well because the views are insane. And I was really happy to hear that the other realtor that walked in there told her the same thing. Because sometimes we in real estate, and we get a bad name, and we should. Because sometimes we are chasing that deal, but we have a fiduciary duty to really do what's best for our client and our potential client and to tell them the truth. I was really happy to hear that there was another real estate agent that walked in there. I always say, don't chase a deal, a dame or a dog. And they didn't chase the deal, and they told her the same thing. I thought that was really cool. Sometimes the best thing to do in a market like this, if you can afford to, get your cash flow, buy and hold, your tax advantages, and don't sweat the cycle when you own something that's very unique. It's not a townhome where you can find something else that's similar. It's not, there are no other condos like it. It's a very unique piece of property. So,
yeah, that is good to hear, because so many times real estate agents rank right by like used car salesmen when they do those popularity polls. So it's good to hear that someone else gave her that same advice. And I think what you said is solid advice for that particular situation. There are other times where you might, save one and sell the other, or that's the thing that where I think it's going to be so hard to replace a really good real estate agent with AI and all this stuff that we hear trending all the time, because sometimes you have to make a decision and you need to take into account all the things you talked about, they're where they're at in their life, what success looks like, what they're going to do with the money, what they want to have happen in their life. And it's difficult for an algorithm to calculate all that stuff and make the right decision, because a lot of it is just the human emotion, the human experience, where they're at in their life. We had another client we talked to a while back that one of the members of this couple had a pretty serious health scare. And so for them, the right decision is to sell a piece of property for no other reason but because it impacted the health decision.
Yeah, I'm going to see a piece of property today. Someone reached out. They saw that I wrote I wrote something about the headline that real estate in Seattle's gone up 14%. In one particular neighborhood, it's gone up like 21%. And that's Sunset Hills neighborhood, which I love. If I didn't live on Queen Anne, I'd live on Sunset Hills. It's a Ballard neighborhood, but it's towards Shoshone Bay. It doesn't have 72-hour parking, so it doesn't have all the RVs and tents. Big lots, big through lots, great shops. I think it has an 88 walk score. You and I sold a home there for someone in the Ronadon Nation.
That's where our pal Eric lives.
A couple of years ago. It's a kick-ass spot. So anyway, he's going through a divorce. So it's like, we have to sell. And then he's a musician, but he's also very handy. So he said, hey, could you come over, take a look, and see some of the things that you think I should do to improve this property? And I'm like, hell yeah. So I'm gonna go look at that today. And anything that you can do right now in this market, like my friend Mike McGann, detective, Seattle Police Department, he's been buying and selling real estate since he was in his 20s. He just built this beautiful home in Montana, sold that. I was talking to him last night. He was sending me pictures of this old house that he's had over in Seattle, mid-century, road hard, put away wet. Anyway, he's going through right now, and he needed some subs, so he's asking me about, he needed a railing guy, so we were talking. He's been doing this so long that he's really good at adding value to a home, forcing appreciation on that home, and then there's a reason to move every 2 years. There's tax, if you're up for it, right? If you're not married like he is, if you're really good at it, if you like tricking out houses, there's a tax benefit and a financial benefit to every 2 years moving your primary. And we could talk about that too in a sit down. So anyway, lots of cool things that you can do with real estate. And yeah, sometimes you're an investor like Mike is. He's on the other side of his police life. He's since retired from SPD and it keeps him busy and he likes it. And on the other hand, my friend who is a musician, and if I mention his name, you might know him, so I won't, but he's going through a divorce, life happens. And so it's gonna be time for him to sell. And what's really interesting, another guy named Joe reached out from the Sunset neighborhood. He's moving up to the San Juans after 15 years, and he's going to be selling in Sunset too. So anyway, you guys, hey, if you need us and you don't have to live in the Sunset neighborhood, but if you do, invite me over for dinner. I love it over there. We sell the sound though. So if you're in Federal Way or Auburn or Tacoma, Fife, Fremont, Everett, Monroe, I love Duval. I love driving to Duval. Anywhere on the east side, we are here to help, and we'll meet you on your real estate journey wherever you're at. And thanks for all the referrals too. We really appreciate you referring us. Okay, head up, shoulders back. Thanks for hitting like and subscribe on this podcast. The Nation News comes out once a week, something that Ron writes, I write, and so far AI. Have you used AI to write?
I played around with it a little bit.
On the newsletter?
I've done it a couple times.
I did it one time, and I told everybody it was AI, and I hated it. I hated what AI wrote. It wasn't in my voice, but I mentioned that I was using AI. And I noticed, like, when I write something, like another newsletter went out today, people really respond to it. AI, I'd never hear from anyone. So, and there's so much of that shiznit out there. So, anyway, for Charlie the dog, here comes my son. He's going to lock us out, you guys. If you need us on the journey, RonandonSitDown.com. You've been listening to the Ron and Don Show all night. Ron and Don, or you know.
Now keep your head up and your shoulders back and keep blowing that trumpet, and we'll see you next time.
Only.
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 Only
on the Ron and Don Radio Network.